I want to talk about developing staying power. You know, on these Wednesday nights, I like to talk to you about a subject that you use both spiritually and naturally. And, you know, you have to learn how to stay in place. Some people are always on the move. They never stay long enough somewhere to get anything or to accomplish anything. There's some people, in this town, back several years ago, one of the ministers, Brother Billy Joe Daugherty, is in heaven today, but he and I, this had been many years ago, we were talking one day and he said, you know, I think that we've got between 4,500 and 5,000 people in the city of Tulsa that go from Rhema to Victory to this church to that church and back again. He said they just go around and it was true. They go here for a little while. Well, I feel like God moved me on. Well, you know what? They never grow. They never experience anything because nobody ever stays long enough to get anything. Come on now. Now, the enemy will do everything he can to get you out of place. Conflict will he'll use conflict. Well, you do the best you can to get along with people. Don't cause conflict. He'll use not getting promoted, both in a church or in your job. And sometimes you really don't want to get promoted. You don't realize the amount of work that goes into the promotion. You know, I've had people say, man, I'd like to have your job set in your office. I said, hey, here's the door. Come on. When you got decisions to make and the disbursements is more than the income, it's no fun to be in that office. You know, many people move because it looks like a better opportunity. Just because something looks good at the beginning, what's it going to be like in the long run? An opportunity that may look good for the immediate future, when you look at it, and I talked about this Sunday in our 2020 vision series, and I'll be doing another one this Sunday morning. It's better to stay where you're at. You see, you know, people always talk about the grass is greener on the other side. Hey, it still has to be mowed. You know, I saw a picture, cartoon picture in a magazine one time, and there's a fence and there's two horses. This horse has got his head stuck through the fence eating the grass over here. This horse has got his head stuck through the fence eating the grass there. Same grass. That's the way people are sometimes. Anybody ever heard of somebody by the name of Abigail Van Buren? The younger people may not have. She used to write a column called Dear Abby. Now her daughter has picked it up and does it because she's gone. Her daughter's doing it. But she said maturity is the ability to stick with a job until it's finished. I'll let that stay where it wants. My friend John Mason, he got a lot of good books. You know, what's that one? Don't be an original, don't die a copy. But he's got Let Go of Whatever Makes You Stop. In that book, he said, the power to hold on in spite of everything is to endure. This is the winning quality, or the winner's quality. Staying in place is the key to being successful in life, naturally and spiritually. We have to keep in mind that God has a place for us. You know, when Dad said, we're going to start the Bible school, well, I sat down and I designed the curriculum for Rhema and I started it. And I told Lynette that we're committed to make this happen no matter what. Nothing is going to get in the way. I told her, I said, If we have to, we'll sell everything we have. We were committed. The reason some people are never successful, they're not committed to stay in the place, no matter how hard it gets. So we got to realize the value of staying in our place. You know, go to Exodus. I want to read about Moses here. Exodus 2. I'm going to read from the NLT. Many years later, when Moses is grown up, remember they killed all the babies, but Moses' mother, she put him in a little basket and put him on the Nile River, and Pharaoh's daughter found him and raised him as her son in the palace. So now, after many years, when Moses had grown up, he went out to visit his own people, the Hebrews. And he saw how hard they were forced to work during his visit. He saw the Egyptians beating one of his fellow Hebrews. After looking in all directions to make sure no one was watching, Moses killed the Egyptian, hid the body in the sand. The next day when Moses went out to visit his people again, he saw two Hebrew men fighting. "Why are you beating up your friend?" Moses said to one that had started to fight. The man replied, "Who appointed you to be our prince and judge? Are you going to kill me as you killed that Egyptian yesterday?" Then Moses was afraid, thinking everyone knew what he did. And he, sure enough, Pharaoh heard what had happened, and he tried to kill Moses. But Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in the land of Midian. When Moses arrived in Midian, he sat down beside a well. Now, here he is. He runs off from the job that he was supposed to do. Now, the problem was he tried to do it in his own strength without waiting on God. So he went out and he spent 40 years in the desert. He left because he was afraid. He left because he wasn't relying on God. He ran away instead of staying in place. In those 40 years, he learned some things. Life is a process of getting ready to do whatever you're doing in life, whatever calling you feel that God has for you. You see, he learned the importance of staying in place, following God, and he went back and was the deliverer. Let's look at 2 Samuel, looking at David's mighty men. They held their place. 2 Samuel 23:8-12. These are the names of David's mightiest warriors. The first is Jehoshabim, Hekamite. We're just going to call him Josh, all right? Who was the leader of the three mightiest warriors among David's men? He once used his spear to kill 8,000 enemy warriors in one battle. Next in rank of the three was Eleazar, son of Dodai, a descendant of Ahohi. Once Eleazar and David stood together against the Philistines when the entire Israelite army fled. He killed Philistines until his hand was too tired to lift a sword, and the Lord gave him a great victory that day. The rest of the army did not return until it was time to collect the plunder. Next in rank was Shammah, the son of Agi from Hara. One time, the Philistines gathered in Lehi and attacked the Israelites in a field of lentils. And that's probably, we might call it a pea patch. And the Israelite army fled. But Shammah held his ground in the middle of the field and beat back the Philistines. So the Lord brought about a great victory. Here we see three mighty men. Josh killed 800 enemy soldiers in one battle with his spear. Eleazar fought. Him and David stayed when everybody else ran, and the two alone won a victory. In fact, Eleazar, he fought so hard and killed so many that he couldn't even lift his sword anymore. Now Shammah took his stand and defend a field a patch of peas while everybody else ran. I mean, you know, the first two guys, Josh and Alexander, seemed to accomplish something significant. Third man, Shammah, was considered a mighty man because he defended that patch. He stayed in his place. That's what's the significance. He stayed. He took his stand while everybody else ran. Shammah stayed in one place doing what he was supposed to do, defend that field. He didn't allow anything to knock him out of the way. You know, today you may feel like you don't have a significant position or job to do and that nobody notices. Hey, don't make any difference. Stay put. John Mason, again, in that same book, said, any diamond will tell you it was just a chunk of coal that stuck to its job and made a diamond or made good under pressure. For you that don't know about that, from pressure, that's where diamonds come from. But you see, it stayed there under pressure. It was just a piece of coal. See, if you stay in place where you're at naturally and where God's got you, you'll learn how to be successful. I didn't say it'd be fun. I didn't say you might not enjoy it. But in the long run, it will be beneficial. See, make sure you stand firm in your place. 1 Corinthians 10:12 NLT says, if you think you're standing strong, be careful not to fall. If you think you're standing strong, be careful not to fall. What is this verse telling us? It's telling us that if you don't take precaution, you could fall, even though you're standing. There are some things that will cause you to lose your position. You know, it's bad enough to be laid off or lose your job because of somebody else. But it's even worse if you take yourself out. Oh, y'all not liking this, huh? Here's some things that can cause you to lose position, both in the church and your spiritual life, also in your natural life. Ignorance of what is required of you to maintain your position. To find out what is required of you to maintain your position in Christ, you find out in the Word of God. To find out what is required of you to maintain your position in wherever you're working and so forth is to learn what that job's all about. You know that one of the insurance companies has got a advertisement out there, just okay. Anybody seen that, you know? this doctor comes in and said, I just got reinstated. And the guy asked the nurse, is he okay? I said, yeah, he's okay. And they said, just okay? I don't want somebody working on me, it's just okay. I want somebody that knows what they're doing. In 1958, I was in high school, I think, still. I graduated in May of 58. I think I still have my dad's mom, my grandmother. She was the first lady that ever had a colostomy performed by Dr. Cooley, I believe his name was, down at there at Parkland Hospital, the University of Texas Hospital there in Dallas, Texas. Well, back in those days, they didn't have blood banks. Some of y'all are old enough to remember. If somebody had to have blood, you had to get somebody that would go in and replace that pint of blood. Anybody remember that? I got a few people old enough to remember that. Well, I went down, you know, and well, actually, I'd graduated. I was working on the freight dock. Sure, I was my first year of college, and so, you know, I went in and I was, you know, they put my arm out there, and this guy, he poked and he prodded and he poked and. Man, kind. Then he went over here and done the same thing. And finally, I said something. I said, is there somebody else? So I don't know whether the doctor heard me or what, but he came over there and he looked at my arm and he looked at that guy and he said, because I've been working on Freight Dock for about 3 or 4 months and lifting, and you know, and your veins pop out when you're younger and you're pumping iron, like pumping iron. But I was lifting weights, so, you know. That's the best kind of lifting to do, is that hard working like that, unloading trucks and loading trucks. And he said to that guy, he said, listen, son, if you can't put a needle in those garden hoses, then you better get another profession. Because, I mean, my veins were standing out. You could see it perfect. I mean, I couldn't figure out why he couldn't get it. He didn't. I had bruises all over my arm. You see, he needed to do a little more study to maintain his position. Fear and insecurity will cause you to lose your position because you'll be so fearful that you mess up. Then not developing the skills and abilities that you need to successfully fulfill the requirements of your position. Now, this is true inside of working in a church, working in the ministry, and working outside in a regular job. These things are true. Lack of periodic renewal and training will cause you not be able to fulfill your position. You need to occasionally just stop. There's a lot of jobs that require retraining ever so often. You know, many people don't know it, but my wife's brother, my brother-in-law, he's a banker. And I noticed years ago when we were there, I'd be down there, and he would have a pile of stuff that he'd be reading every night. And I say, Gary, what is that? He said, oh, this is all kinds of new regulations and new stuff that has come out. He said, they come out just about every day. New regulations concerning the banking business and the loaning and so forth and so on. And he said, many, many, many bankers just sort of blow it off, and they end up getting their bank in trouble. He said, that's why I do this. That's why I study this every night. You see, he and still, even though now he's the president of the bank and got 16 other banks, he still continually looks at stuff. Renewal. How many of you work in a job where every so often you're required to do retake courses and stuff in order to maintain your position? Hey, we need to get to, somebody say, oh man, they're the Christian life, they're doing fine. And so I don't care how fine you're doing. Get back in there and start reading the word like it's the first time you ever read it. Renew yourself. You see, sometimes we can get so, you know, so complacent. Oh, I know what the Bible says. I know what the word says. But yeah, divorce yourself from that and go back and start reading it just like it was when you first got a hold of the faith message. I had one of my ministers tell me the other day, he said, every January, I get out the Authority of the Believer and read it all over again. I've been doing it. He told me I've been doing it for 20 years. What's that? He's doing reoccurring training. Come on now. Don't look at me like that. You know, ever so often when I'm looking at sermons and putting sermons, I ask myself, listen, am I being relevant? Am I doing what I've been taught to do? Do I need to go? And I go back and look at stuff. And I look at the new ideas and the new things that are coming along with public speaking now. See, that's what I'm talking about. But you need to do this with your regular job. Some people, well, I'm satisfied. Well, that's great. But and if you want to advance, you got to put some time into thinking about it. If you're a salesman, you can't rest on your laurels. You have to look at all the new sales techniques that are coming down the pike. What motivates this new generation? What motivated the last generation may not won't motivate the new generation. And you, as a minister, you got to learn that. You got to learn how to navigate that. Also, as a minister of a church, you got all kinds of different people that are entering into the church and different levels of spirituality. You got all kinds of different ethnic groups and people. So you got to continually to reevaluate everything. You do this in the natural also. Come on, anybody getting anything out of this? Now, I'm going to give you a few things that help you develop staying power. And I got 10 minutes. Realize that God is for you as you stand in your position. If God be for us, who can be against you? With God on your side, how can you lose? That's the message. The voice says, if God is on your side, tell me whom should we fear? Refuse to be afraid of adversity. We have adversity in our normal jobs. We have adversity in our spiritual lives. Be strong and courageous. Yeah, remember the Lord told Joshua there, be strong and courageous 3 different times. One time he said, be strong and very courageous. Speak the word over yourself and your position. We all know Mark 11:23. I don't even have to read it to you, but I am. Instead of quoting it, I'm going to read it. For surely I say to you, whoever says this mountain be removed, be that cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, believe that those things he says will be done, he'll have whatever he says. You can use this in the natural as well as in your spiritual thing, as well as for healing and prosperity and whatever. You can use this in the natural. You can speak to things in your field of work. Learn to speak the word of God. Learn to release the possibilities of declaring what you can do in Christ. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. You gotta believe that and act like it and have God help you. You can do it. You know, I've told this many times here how old Sims are riding that line. I was working on the freight dock, and he kept asking all these people, all these guys, they all work, but we all from school, about 2 car loads of us, 3 car loads of us. And we went up there every day and got there about 2:00. And then they put us on the clock as we needed us. And they took us off by, usually we'd get off around 10, 11, 12, somewhere in there. They'd take you off the clock. Now, he was asking all these people, can you do this? Can you do that? And they said, no. This guy here, he rode in the other carpool. The other guy rode with me in my car. He's over here. And he didn't ask him because I was here. He asked the other guy on the other side. All of them said no. He got to me and he said, Hagin. Yeah, Sims. He said, can you do such and such? I said, yep, I can. Now he went on by and this guy here said, Hagin, you don't know how to do that. I said, well, I know a little bit about it. And I know a guy that works in that area. And also we got a light. We didn't have the internet back then. You're talking about 1959. Okay, we have no internet. And I said, we got a library at school. I said, when I get here at 2:00 tomorrow afternoon, as soon as I get off, and I can get, I didn't have no cell phone, and I can get to a phone, I'm going to call my buddy, and I'm going to pick his brain, and then I'm going to get up in the morning, and I'm going to go to the library before my first class, and I'm going to look up stuff. When I get here tomorrow, I'm going to be able to do this. They said, well, how do you believe you can do that? I said, because the Bible says I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, and God is going to give me the wisdom. It said, if you like wisdom, pray, he'll give it to you. I'm going to do it. Well, guess what? I got a little bit of a raise and a little bit of promotion when everybody else said I can't. Come on now. See, sometimes you got to listen to the Spirit of God on the inside of you, even in your job at where you're working. He'll guide you. He'll guide you and help you with your job if you'll ask him and listen. But some people, oh, this is just regular work. Hey, it may be regular work, but ask God to give you the wisdom how to do something. There have been many times that I've asked God, now listen, I'm working on a car or something, you know, back in when I was, you know, single and working on a car or helping one of my relatives at their house. And I'd say, Lord, help me. I don't know really how to do this. Show me how I can do this. The Lord would help me. If you believe him, he will. He'll give you. The Spirit of God on the inside of you will speak things to you. See, a successful person knows how to hear God's voice about natural things as well as spiritual things. You know, when challenges comes, listen to the voice of the Spirit on the inside of you. He'll guide you through the maze and bring you out on the other side successfully. Anybody ever gone through one of them mazes and mirror mazes deals? You know, how many of you know what I'm talking about? And you got... You got to really work to get out of there, you know. Well, hey, sometimes you get in situations that it's like that. But if you listen to the Spirit of God, he'll guide you. He'll tell you what to do. Now, here's another one. Obedience is necessary. In other words, obedience to stay where you're supposed to stay. 1 Samuel 15:22. Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice. Submission is better than offering a fat of rams. Now, if you don't know history, you don't understand this. Saul was told by the Samuel he was going down to fight, and they would normally bring back the king, and they prayed him through the streets. If you studied world history, you'll find this. Not only everybody did this, Israelites, everybody did this. And then the Israelites would always bring back some of the cattle to offer sacrifices to the Lord. And if you read on down, that's what Samuel asked him, why is this happening? He said, we brought this back to sacrifice to the Lord. That's when Samuel said to him, obedience is better than sacrifice. God told them to do something else. And he disobeyed. Because of that, he was removed from position of king. Obedience to God's word will bring you power and strength. Obedience to do what they tell you to do on the job, whether you think it should be done or not, will bring you success. Hey, when you're in the military and that sergeant tells you something, or that lieutenant or that captain, they tell you, give you an order, tell you to do something, whether you want to do it, think it should be done or not, it don't make no difference. Do it. Or otherwise you're going to reap the consequences. That's what happened here. Saul, he reaped the consequences of not being obedient. You get an order from a lieutenant, yes, sir. Go do it. Hello? you don't argue with them. I mean, you don't argue with the rank. I mean, I was squad leader. That was the equivalent of being a corporal in our training when I was in the training regiment. And if I told them other guys to do something, hey, it was their responsibility to do it. If they didn't, I could send them up on Article 14 or whatever, because they disobeyed an order. Some people think they can disobey the word of God and still have success. You can't. I better go on now. I can see y'all are shutting down on me. Okay. Let's go to the, oh, I only got 2 minutes. Let's go to this one. I got two more. Discipline. Discipline yourself to meet the requirements of the position, both in the spiritual and in the natural. Discipline yourself to read the word. Discipline yourself to pray. It's a discipline. 1 Corinthians 9:25, Paul said, all the athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it as for an eternal prize. You discipline yourself to get to work on time, or you're not going to have no work. See, train yourself, discipline yourself to be able to know and get to what needs to be done to accomplish. Another, understand the accepted behavior that is required for that position. Every position has, I don't care if it's in the natural, if it's in the church, and in the spiritual, every position has an acceptable behavior. Paul said, I do this lest after I've preached, I become a castaway. What's he talking about? This is the acceptable behavior of a person in my position, is what he's saying. Hello. Then in Luke 16:10, it says, if you're faithful in little things, you'll be faithful in large ones. But if you are dishonest in little things, you'll be dishonest with greater responsibility. And if you're untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? And if you're unfaithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with your own? Being faithful is important. It's a discipline. Observing the protocol is important. Showing honor and respect is important. Now let's go with this last one. Taking care of business. Do what the position requires and more. You know who an employer looks for when he looks at somebody to promote? He looks for somebody that doesn't worry about standing at the time clock waiting for it to hit the deal where they can check out. He looks for somebody that's still working even though it's time to check out. Come on now. Colossians 3:23 says, work willingly at whatever you do as though it were you were working for the Lord rather than people. Take responsibility of your position. Contribute with new ideas that will make your position more effective and help the company. My dad told me, son, if it's worth doing, then do it right or don't do it at all. If I heard that once, I heard it 1,000 times. And anybody that knows me, that if it's worth doing, I give it 110%. I don't care if it's playing ball, if it's preaching or whatever it's doing, I give it all I got. If I'm not going to give it everything I got, I ain't going to do it. Because why do something half-heartedly? And I see a lot of people do that. All right, one more. Choose your company wisely. That's in the spirit and in the natural. Proverbs 13:20 says, walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. Come on now. I don't know whether this is true or not, but a story is told about a guy that was walking down the beach with his father. And he saw that this guy had a bucket of crabs and didn't have no lid on it. And he asked his dad, he said, why are the crabs not crawling out of the bucket? And his father said, well, when one crab in the bucket tries to crawl out, the others grab hold of him and pull him back down, so they all shared the same fate. Well, the principle that we're trying to get a hold of here is that people will, if you're trying to better yourself, other people will attempt to pull you back. Hello. You know, there's a guy that said, this guy, Greg Griffin, I don't know who he is, he said this: you must ignore the crabs if you want to be a success in life. Now, I don't know whether that story is true or not, but it gets the point across. You understand? There are some people you need to walk away from. If you want to win, don't hang with losers. Hang with winners. Hello. I've just tried simply tonight to do what I try to do on Wednesday night, and that's just share with you information that will help you to be successful in your life, both naturally and spiritually. You know, when you learn that and learn how to stay in the right place at where you're supposed to be at the right time, the success comes bounding through the door. Praise the Lord. Anybody get anything out of this tonight? Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight for the words that we had to say. I pray that our words will find lodgment in people's hearts. May they take them to their heart. I realize everybody didn't need everything that was said, but everybody needed something that was said. Let them take that, adjust their life so that they'll be successful. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen.